For newly minted or experienced lawyers, the federal government provides lots of opportunities for a long and challenging career. Just ask Ann Wagner. She recently left the Merit Systems Protection Board after a six-year stint. Now she's the new Associate Special Counsel at the Office of Special Counsel. I spoke with her about her career change and her extensive background as a civil servant.
I started as a law clerk, actually, at the General Services Administration when I was attending George Washington University. And after that, I went to the American Federation of Government Employees, where I practiced in the General Counsel's office there for almost 20 years. And after that, I was appointed as General Counsel of the Personnel Appeals Board of the Government Accountability Office. After that, I was nominated and confirmed by the Senate to be Vice Chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board, and I'm currently the Associate Special Counsel at the Office of Special Counsel.
All right, so you have worked employee issues at the in the congressional side of the government, that branch, and also the executive branch, and also for the union employees. Does all of this leave you with a good feeling about how federal employees are generally treated?
Well, I think it certainly has given me a good perspective, I think, of the various issues that federal employees deal with on a daily basis. It also gives me particularly in terms of my experience as vice chairman, the perspective from a larger viewpoint of the, you know, government effectiveness and efficiency and the challenges, I think, in terms of personnel management. So I've had a pretty broad spectrum of experiences to kind of inform my perspectives on federal employment.
And this all, most of the cases come down to simply that someone doesn't feel they were treated correctly by a supervisor is probably the main issue here. In your experience, what is the worst thing supervisors tend to do in the grand scheme of things?
Well, I think that the worst thing that supervisors tend to do would be, in essence, to retaliate for improper motives. Particularly, of course, now my focus is on whistleblowing. So I think when federal employees are doing their duty as federal employees and disclosing wrongdoing or gross mismanagement, et cetera, I think that to the extent that that engenders retaliation, that's clearly an improper response on the part of management. I think it's also true in terms of employees who are exercising their statutory rights to engage with other employees in terms of collective action or in seeking or petitioning Congress, et cetera. Employees who are retaliated for, you know, other improper reasons in terms of exercising EEO rights and what have you. So I think that that tends to be, from my experience, the most egregious aspect of improper management.
So people get mad and they try to get even, basically, with people that they have power over.
Correct.
All right, so you have come to the Office of Special Counsel at a time when it's a little bit staggering under the load of whistleblower complaints coming in because of recent incidents at the Veterans Affairs Department. And so, presuming you've seen some of these cases so far, I think there's more than 100 that you're still dealing with. Do these look like, yeah, run-of-the-mill, here's what we see this over and over, or is this particularly an egregious bunch of cases that you're seeing now?
Well, Tom, to tell you the truth, I've really just been here for a week, so I haven't seen the full docket. I haven't gotten into the specifics of all of the VA cases that are pending here with OSC, but I believe that they do reflect and are consistent with, I think, the experience of whistleblowers generally, which is that, you know, people, employees who have, you know, attempted to shed light on improper handling of veterans cases or what have you are really bearing the brunt of retaliation.
And it seems like being put in the basement to either do filing or to do scanning, that seems to be a theme I've heard over the years. Is that something that, is that one of the most popular forms of retaliation, is moving people to basement offices?
I can't say that for sure. Again, I haven't really been embedded long enough to know what is a preferred method of retaliation, but I think that you're sort of from a larger perspective, your point is well taken, which is that sometimes the retaliation takes the form of what might appear to be somewhat petty or petty actions like that of putting people in offices in the basement or, you know, whatnot. And it doesn't make it less retaliatory just because it isn't a removal or it isn't a suspension or some other major adverse action. That there can be a pattern of actions taken against employees that make life difficult for them and could conceivably be deemed, you know, harassment.
We're speaking with Ann Wagner. She is the newly appointed Associate Special Counsel in the Office of Special Counsel. I guess probably if someone were to be, and I don't want to make light of this, but good at retaliation, that supervisor would be elaborately polite, but maybe never promote that person again. And that would be much harder to get at, I would think, from a legal or jurisprudence standpoint.
Right. I think that the question of intent is always a question, is obviously an element of any whistleblower claim, and it's often a matter of circumstantial evidence. So it's a difficult element to prove, but obviously we would endeavor, if there was other evidence that the failure to promote the individual was retaliatory, we certainly look at the evidence in the totality to assess intent.
And you spent a term at the Merit Systems Protection Board. And so in that situation, you kind of saw the pinnacle of cases because they had been through whatever agency processes there are, had been through administrative law judges, and finally the appeal would come to the board itself. What did you learn from that experience?
What I learned from my experience as vice chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board is that a number of things that oftentimes employees or managers, more specifically, don't really know what the law requires of them in terms of treating employees. I think that there could be more effective training of managers to apprise them of what the proper approach is with regard to employees. On the other hand, I think that employees oftentimes, in the context of misconduct, engage in activities that are clearly prescribed, but and I believe agencies attempt to inform employees at the jumpstart of, for example, use of computers, you know, use of government equipment and whatnot. There were a tremendous number of cases involving misuse of government property, you know, and that it just seemed it was avoidable.
All right. And so I guess if you look at the big picture here, once again, we'll return to that. What is your feeling on the general health of merit systems protections and protections in general of federal employees?
Well, I think that there is an ongoing debate regarding the right balance between ensuring accountability and protecting the integrity of the civil service system. That said, I do believe that the current civil service laws are often mischaracterized as somehow creating rights in terms of employees and workers' rights that hinder managers from effectively dealing with poor performance or employees engaging in misconduct. And in fact, in my view, I believe that these civil service protections are actually protecting the system itself from patronage and cronyism that can only really undermine the effective and efficient management of the government and ultimately erode confidence in the federal government's ability to effectively and fairly serve the American people.
All right. And final question, do you have a special portfolio that you will have at OSC?
Well, yes, I do have a portfolio. And it is currently, it comprises a number of units within OSC, the Alternative Dispute Resolution Unit, the Complaints Examining Unit, the Office of General Counsel, and I believe that Carolyn Lerner, the Special Counsel, is constantly looking at ways to improve the efficiency of the agency. So I'm absolutely open to whatever she sees as the most effective use of my expertise and time and energy.